This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his insights now that we know a whole lot more about the man suspected of planting that car bomb in Times Square on Saturday evening, a man by the name of Faisal Shahzad, who was arrested while trying to leave the U.S. on a plane from JFK Airport towards the Middle East and then eventually to Pakistan. And Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, first of all, we know that he was a legal citizen, a naturalized citizen. Apparently, he had married an American. What does that mean for his status in courts? He's already been Mirandized, but what else might he have at his benefit that others who aren't citizens would have?
Well, he's going to be treated like an American. He's not going to be held, as somebody perhaps from Guantanamo Bay or other terrorists that have been picked up into the field. This is someone who's going to be afforded the full rights of our legal system, and probably someone who actually knows how to navigate it, or his family knows how to navigate it. And I would expect rights groups to come to his defense as well until more information can be gleaned about his case.
What do we know about him? How long had he been in the U.S.? At what point was he radicalized? Is any of this clear yet?
Well, it's unclear at this point. We know that he's had a longstanding relationship with his wife. We know that he's gone through, several years of working to become a naturalized citizen. We also know that he's gone back and forth to Pakistan quite a bit, and we believe that he's been estranged from his wife, and he's been struggling with that relationship, and that over the last several months, he's been in Pakistan, and it's perhaps at that point that he was radicalized, although we don't know. It certainly could have been the case that he was radicalized well before that, and that this is part of a long-standing plot to infiltrate the United States and to carry out an attack of this magnitude.
We've obviously heard about the Taliban for a long time, Jonathan, but this Taliban branch that's in Pakistan, what do we know about them in particular, and what should we glean from the fact that they were potentially plotting this attack right here in the United States?
Well, the Pakistani Taliban is essentially the same thing as the regular Taliban. It's just it's a locational issue. But I think, more to the point, we need to be looking at the fact that there are what I would call al-Qaeda affiliate groups, offshoots of the al-Qaeda organization that are more franchises than really nodes of the, let's say, the corporate entity of al-Qaeda. They're all over the world, and they're small, they're disparate, they aren't necessarily structured in a way that makes it easy for law enforcement or intelligence agencies to detect, and that is likely what this group was, its MO, let's say. But even if we dig down a little further, I think that there's indication here that we may be looking at someone who was more along the lines of a freelancer or a lone wolf, perhaps was getting a little bit of guidance out of Pakistan, but seems like he acted alone, or at least that's what authorities are indicating at this point, and that makes it a whole lot harder for intelligence officials to track down an individual like this.
Well, we are hearing stories that there have been arrests in Pakistan, maybe as many as five. Does that suggest perhaps a little bit of a deeper level of involvement over there?
Yeah, certainly it does, and it also, I think, reflects something that's very positive, and that is that the Pakistanis are working with us to uncover the extent of this plot. That's going to be very critical right now. If there is a deeper network in Pakistan, it will really be up to the Pakistanis to help us uncover that and to get to the bottom of this. This is not unlike what we had happen after the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, when a number of the assailants fled to Pakistan. The difference was is that we didn't get as much help as it appears that we're getting right now. So perhaps there have been some things that have been fixed over the last 10, 15, 20 years that we've learned from, and that would be extremely helpful.
We're talking with Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And Jonathan, we mentioned in the beginning that he's going to be afforded the rights afforded to any American citizen because he is one. There are some, though, who say that this is an interesting test case because you have a situation here where it could be in public court, obviously, unless it's in a military commission, that once again we'll have a situation like 1993 where important sensitive information could be out there for public consumption and consumption by those who don't like us very much.
Well, I think that's certainly the case, and this will be a test case. It'll be very interesting to see how much intelligence is revealed, and whether there would be certain aspects of this case that would be shrouded from the public eye. I think that would be important. Although it appears that a lot of this stuff is going to be available open source, and I think that's certainly a positive thing to the extent that we can get that information out there without revealing sources and methods to be able to convince the American public that this is an individual worthy of prosecuting if, in fact, he is responsible for this attempted attack. I think it will be important to have this out in the public square to the extent, again, that it does not reveal the sources and methods of our U.S. intelligence agencies.
Do you get the sense that the Justice Department is handling this about how it should when you look at the charges and the way that this process has unfolded over the last few days?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the Justice Department has acted swiftly. I think there have been some concerns about how this individual got on the plane in the first place. If he wasn't on a watch list, why was it that he was able to get through two rounds of security, not just one, but two, to get through two different gates, and then to actually get on the plane? That's where I think there was a breakdown. But beyond that, I think that the Justice Department has moved very quickly. I will say, however, that this doesn't underscore a problem that I think that the U.S. government writ large is struggling with right now, and that is about our national security strategy and whether we can talk about Islamism or radical Islam as part of the problem. That's something that the Obama administration has shied away from. I think that's a big mistake. Again, we're seeing an attack that appears to be coming out of a Muslim country that appears to be motivated by Islamism or radical Islam, and I think it's incredibly important to note this and to note that this is part of a larger trend that we continue to struggle with.
Important to note indeed. Jonathan, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it greatly.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.